You're listening to DraftKings Network.
If you like to make your NFL games a little bit more interesting, you've come to the right place. It's the Even Money Podcast with Ross Tucker and Steve Fezzik.
Yeah, Vegas, baby, Vegas. It is the Even Money Betting Podcast. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the code Ross when you're over there. That way they know I sent you. Appreciate it very much. Love DraftKings Sportsbook app. Love this show. So much fun. So fast. Such a fast-moving show. Today, we'll get into the NFC season win totals that are posted at DraftKings Sportsbook as Steve and I have our first look at the NFC side of things. If you missed last week's episode, we got into the AFC season win totals with our initial reaction. You know, a lot of the numbers we thought were okay. We had slight leans. We did have a couple of bets that you're going to want to make sure you take action on unless the number has changed. I also want to get Steve's thoughts going into this weekend with the Masters. I know a lot of people bet on the Masters. Golfing and betting is popular. And now that we've had a couple weeks of the UFL, curious to get Steve's thoughts on that. I'm Ross Tucker. You guys know that. At Ross Tucker NFL. On social media, we're at Ross Tucker Pod. Love those of you that rate and review the show. Honestly, the easiest thing you could do is rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and then you just take a screenshot of it on your phone, forward it to me, ross@rostucker.com, with whatever question you have for Steve. I mean, think about it. Who gets to just ask a guy like a legend like Steve Fezzik a question? You do. He's at Fezzik Sports. We are at Ross Tucker Pod. Love that we get more and more people every week checking us out on YouTube. YouTube.com/RossTuckerNFL, which is awesome. All right, Steve, we're going to get to the NFC season win totals. But I wanted to start with a couple of things, right? So now we're a couple weeks in on the UFL. And I know that you've done very well in recent years betting on these spring football leagues. At this point, I have forgotten how many there were. It's like there was the USFL, the AAF, the XFL. It's been unbelievable. UFL. Okay, Steve, talk to me about, I guess just first of all, your thoughts on the league, if you think it'll be successful or not.
No, the league is going to fail. I say that emphatically, and I have the reason, Ross. And here's the reason. We all watch football. We're creatures of habit. So we watch football all year long, and then the Super Bowl comes along, all right? And then we're like, where's my football? It's Saturday, it's Sunday, the weather's terrible outside, nothing's going on, the NBA games don't mean anything, there's no tournament going on in college basketball. I need my football. So it's the perfect time, mid-February, to launch a spring football league when it's still, you know, wintertime, and you make it regional, you make it, you know, teams in Texas and in the Southeast. Great. That works. But you know what doesn't work? Launching during mid to late March, March Madness, baseball starting, NBA and NHL playoffs right around the corner. We have limited bandwidth. We can't handle it. And we're used to, like, we've already gone 5 or 6 weeks without watching our football on Saturday or Sunday. So we're not inclined. We're not like, hey, it's 10 a.m. It's noon on Sunday. I want to watch my football game. And I think because of that, people moved on. They moved on to other sports. And I think you've got to capture that audience with good stories in February. And if you don't do that by mid-March, you're donezo. And there's too many other sports going on.
Interesting. Kind of feels to me like you got two ideas there. You could either do right after the Super Bowl, like I think the AAF did that 1 year, or maybe you do it like right after March Madness or right after the Masters, like with the idea of still not quite there yet for the NBA playoffs, but now that it's been a couple months, now people are like ready for football, like, you know, maybe like right around the NFL draft, something like that, you know, where people are thinking football again. I do think that the mid-March start or late March, whatever, was probably not the best idea. I don't know. I mean, look, there's very smart people involved in that league. And so I'm sure that, you know, they had their reasoning for doing it, including when the league ends. But to me, you either continue the momentum of the season and start the weekend after the season, or you give it till like mid-April when we're past the Masters and people are talking about the NFL draft, and it's like you're talking about players and stuff, and on weekends you can watch football, former players in college and stuff.
Yeah, and you are up against then the NBA and the NHL playoffs. I got to tell you, I think June, I think summer, early summer football is a great time, frankly, because that's when, you know, all you're not competing with all the major pro sports other than baseball, and you're kind of tired of baseball, and you're like, you're starting to, you know, salivate about football again. I think, and people, the popularity of the CFL, of all things, I think that these leagues could replace the CFL in July if they were able to move, you know, to summertime football. I think that would be a successful slot. That's when a lot of the bandwidth is there. There's just people don't really like baseball by then, and they're looking for football again.
What about the Masters, Steve? I know you're not the biggest golf guy, but I know you have friends that are. How do you typically, or would you recommend people bet the big golf events like the Masters?
So, broken record, we talk about this all the time. I don't like the needle in the haystack bets. Betting one dude to win or portfolio of guys to win, matchups. Matchups are the way to go. Pick, find a guy that you like, a guy that you don't like, and they're up against each other in a DraftKings matchup, and you lay minus 125 on the guy you like. So you bet player A versus player B. That is the way to attack it. And, you know, just prop bets. I love betting over-unders on what a guy's going to shoot. Over-under 70.5. Is he going to go over or under in any one round? You follow in the weather. Those are the sorts of bets that the pros I know do very well betting golf.
Let's get into some of these NFC season win totals, Steve. Hopefully we'll have time at the end for an email question. Absolutely love your email questions. They are awesome. Ross@rostucker.com. All right. We will start with the New York Giants. By the way, I got to be honest with you. I'm looking at DraftKings Sportsbook right now. Love them. I don't know what the order is for these. I don't know why the Giants are first on my list, and then it's Dolphins, then Packers. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason. Do you know the answer to that, Steve?
Most books sorted by the city, alphabetical by the city name, some alphabetical by the mascot name, and some books, I can't figure it out exactly.
Yeah, I have no idea what the order is for DraftKings for whatever reason. But they got the Giants first, and their number 6.5, Steve.
You know, it seems a little bit low just because Daboll is such a good coach and he seems to always outperform his expectation. I know that I think they only won 6 games last year, but, you know, DeVito at quarterback. I mean, this guy is a sorcerer in terms of ways to find ways to win games he shouldn't win. I'd lean over.
Yeah, I'd probably have a slight lean over as well, thinking that Daniel Jones stays healthy and gives them better quarterback play than they had last year. The Packers are up to 10.5, Steve.
You know, it's funny because at 9.5, I was leaning over because, like, the Packers are a contender. I can't do 10.5. 10.5 is reserved for elite contenders. And maybe Green Bay, as well as they played in the playoffs, the way they took it to the Cowboys, the way they should have beaten the Niners, it's, again, we go back to whenever a team suddenly jumps up in power rating, to ask them to make another jump, that's a difficult thing, but I'm generally bullish about the Packers, so I pass.
You know, the Vikings are not going to be good. And the Bears have a rookie quarterback. I think 10.5 is probably a little bit rich for my blood, but I understand the number. The Eagles are also 10.5, Steve.
Now, that I don't understand. You're the resident Eagle expert, so I will defer to you. And I know that you don't like, you know, betting against your Eagles, but I would have made the number 9.5 with the collapse at the end of the season, the Hurts and his health. I could only look under 10.5.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they were so good for so long. The question is, like, whether the end of the season is more who they are or whether it was an anomaly. I don't think any of us really know that. And I would say, to me, they have a decent amount of question marks coming into the year, right? Like, who starts at right guard? You know, what do they really have at corner? Do they get the what they're trying to get out of Saquon? Do they get this Huff guy they signed from the Jets and traded Reddick? Like, I just think there's probably a lot of question marks for the Eagles. And question marks, I think, in general are not good, right? Like, the higher your season win total number, the less question marks there should be. And I feel like there's a lot of sort of unknowns for the Eagles coming into this year. The Panthers, they're this week's Patriots, Steve. They're at 4.5. 4.5.
Number looks right. Worst team in the league should be 4.5, and they are 4.5. I have no dog in this fight.
You don't think that the coaching change or a year or two for Bryce Young makes any difference?
You know, I heard a stat that said the Panthers did not lead. They did not run an offensive play with the lead at any time in the fourth quarter all year long. So both games they won were on last second field goals. Can't be going over five. Can't expect a team like that to suddenly win five games when they were winning none until the final gun.
Gosh, that's bad. All right. What about before we get to the Detroit Lions, I know people in Detroit that absolutely love Labatt Blue Light, and can you blame them? It's a delicious beer. It's brewed in Buffalo, New York. It's my favorite light beer by far. It's my drink of choice when I was with the Bills, and it's kind of always been since. Whenever I go somewhere and they have it on the menu, Labatt Blue Light, well, that's what I'm getting. Live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. All right, Steve, let's talk Lions. They're interesting, and their number is 10.5.
Another example of a team that has risen to contender, and now they're at 10.5. And let's face it, we only deal 11.5 on the truly elite, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs and the 49ers. Is Detroit there? Maybe they are. You know, they absolutely could have made it to the big dance, but my basic strategy says a team suddenly is rising up. They tend to oftentimes take a step back. I'm going to lean under with Detroit, even though I like what they're doing, under 10.5.
Yeah, that number seems about right to me. I think they'll win 10 or 11 games. I don't have an issue with that one. What about the Niners? You mentioned them earlier. They are at 11.5 again, Steve.
11.5 is just a bridge too far. And we talked last week about load management, staying healthy, and the like. And I think that more and more, you know, we're seeing years where nobody in the league's winning 13 games. So your corridor is so small to victory where they've got to win 12 or maybe 13 for you to cash your ticket. And if anything goes wrong, if you get hit with injuries, you're just not going to get there. I got to lean under 11.5.
Yeah, I'd have a slight lean that way too, but only slight. I think 11.5 is probably the right number. Very intrigued by this next team, Steve. The Rams at 8.5. You know, Aaron Donald retires. They have fortified their O-line by getting two guards. I mean, they had Dotson already, but they get Jonah Jackson. And yet, there's a lot of chatter about them potentially, Steve, drafting Matthew Stafford's replacement eventually, his heir apparent, which that would be interesting. If they used a first-round pick on that, how would you feel about that?
Well, I have a very short memory. I only like to bet on teams for 1 year. I don't care if it's a good move for the organization. It's obviously bad for this year. Having said that, sure feels like the Rams are an above average team, and I could only look over 8.5. Preferably they don't blow their first round draft pick on a player that's not going to play, though.
Yeah, I would lean over 8.5 as well. I was impressed even in that playoff game against the Lions, Puka Nacua, the way their O-line played down the stretch. The Rams feel like they're kind of building this thing back up the right way. What about the Atlanta Falcons, Steve? Their number is 9.5.
So this number was as high as 10.5. I don't see it. I do not see it under 9.5. Now, the Falcons are going to upgrade, no doubt about it. Kirk Cousins, that's like a 4-point upgrade over a quarterback like a Rippon. And what's 4 points worth? Well, that's 17 games. That's 68 points. Warning, little math here. So that's, you think, oh, you're going to score 70 more points. That's going to get you like 4 wins. Well, it turns out, Ross, historically, every 35 points is worth just 1 win. So if you outscore your opponents by 140 points, then you're going to be, you know, that'd be worth 4 wins. But, you know, 70 points is only worth 2 more wins. So if the Falcons were a 7.5 win team, which seems like a little bit generous if they hadn't made the acquisition of Cousins, well, then they'd be 9.5 with Cousins. And that assumes a healthy Cousins. The schedule, much more difficult. Falcons had a cupcake schedule last year. They get a third-place schedule this year, but here's the problem. The Falcons' third-place teams they play? Seattle, Pittsburgh, Chicago. I make the case all three of those teams are at least average teams in the NFL, so much more difficult schedule. I go under on Atlanta.
Even at the 9.5, you're still going under?
Yes, sir.
I think 9.5 is probably about the right number for me in that division. I maybe have a slight lean to the under. The Seahawks are only at 7.5, Steve.
And the Seahawks remind me a little bit of Pittsburgh, where the Seahawks are not cellar dwellers. They're a good organization that is typically competitive. And I don't know if they're going to win 8 or 9. Either way, we're going to go over 7.5.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. That number surprises me quite a bit. I like the over for Seattle as well. I was very impressed with a couple of interactions I had with Mike McDonald, their new head coach. So give me the over on the Seahawks 7.5 as well. Let's get to the Saints. They're at 7.5 also, Steve.
Similar to Seattle, sure feels like the Saints are an 8-win team to me, right? I mean, I'm not confident they're not going to win the division. I mean, they could be in it if Atlanta has a little bit of a down year. I think they should be 8.5, so over 7.5, absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of like over 7.5 for the Saints as well. I mean, I think they'll be right there to win. I mean, why is Atlanta 2 games ahead of the Saints? I don't really understand that one at all. Give me the Saints over 7.5 as well. What about the Cowboys number at 10.5, Steve?
So Dallas felt like a 10.25 team. I wasn't sure whether to make them 10 or 10.5. So the fact is at 10.5, I got to look under. The Cowboys just find ways to underperform every year. So I'd lean under.
I don't see how they've gotten any better. And I think you can argue that they've kind of clearly gotten worse with some of the guys they've lost this offseason. We'll see what happens with the draft, but they've got some real contract challenges they've been dealing with. The Bucs got guys signed. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and their total is 8.5, Steve.
Yeah, and it sure feels like those three teams, Atlanta, Tampa, New Orleans. Atlanta was too high at 9.5. New Orleans too low at 7.5. Tampa Bay, maybe a slight lean over 8.5, but seems right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think all three of those teams should probably be 8.5 in my mind. They're giving a lot of credit to Cousins. What about the Bears? Speaking of 8.5, they are 8.5.
So my first reaction, I just hate rookie quarterbacks. My first reaction has got to go under on the Bears. And I spoke to some people and they're like, Steve, you're missing the boat here. It's going to be an upgrade at quarterback and the team's better. They like over and they talked me into it. So I will reluctantly back an unproven rookie quarterback and lean over.
Yeah, I can't do that. I don't know what to expect from him. I think that's probably a good number, but I'm not leaning over. Although getting Keenan Allen for him to throw to, that helps as well. That number seems right to me. If anything, I probably have a slight lean to the under, maybe, just because of the rookie quarterback. Although we saw what C.J. Stroud did last year, and Caleb Williams is considered a better prospect than him. Although, who knows? Bryce Young was considered a better prospect than C.J. Stroud. That's why he went number one. Commanders are at 6.5. I feel like people don't even, we don't even talk about the Commanders.
Yeah, so Washington was 7.5, and I said that was the number that stood out to me. It's like, how did Washington suddenly become an 8-win team? Even at 6.5, usually the movement on these things is correct. And I know it's a big move, but I still feels like the Giants are better than Washington. Washington's the fourth place team. Lean under.
Well, they're going to have a rookie quarterback for sure. And not the top one. I would lean under as well for the Commanders, just not knowing how things will unfold there at quarterback. What about the Vikings? They're down at 6.5, Steve.
You know, the Vikings are so difficult because it could just be a complete rebuild this year, right? But the way they like kind of duct taped their team together when Cousins went down for a while, and then ultimately they just collapsed though down the stretch. And I can't get past that game against Green Bay at home when they lost like 100-0. The Vikings could be bad. Number looks right. I pass.
Number looks right to me as well. Not exactly sure which way to go there. What about the Arizona Cardinals at 6.5, Steve?
Feels light. I think that Arizona, you know, they have a quarterback. They, you could argue that when they didn't have a quarterback, they had some really horrible games. I think Arizona's a 7-win team. I'd look over.
I probably have a slight lean to the over myself. I love, absolutely love when people go ahead and send us email questions for you. It's Ross at rostucker.com. As a reminder, the best thing to do is either take advantage of a sponsor or just real quick, just rate and review the show on your podcast app, whatever it is, Apple Podcast or Spotify. Send it to me and ask a question. I don't have a name. I lost the name for this one. But the question is, hi, Ross and Steve. Thanks to your advice, I have doubled my starting bankroll this year. I wonder if Steve can tell me whether that means I should now double my standard unit of betting or keep it at what I've been betting this year. Thank you for your awesome podcast.
Yeah, so in general, what's the optimal bet size for the average bettor? 0, because you're going to lose. So don't bet anything or bet $10 and have fun with it. But once you start making sharp bets, you should be following what's called the Kelly criterion, where you're betting proportional to your edge. And what most pros do is they feel like if they're making good wagers, they're going to win about 53.4% of the time. Break even's 52.4%. Their ROI would be, it seems like it should be 1%, but it's 2% in that case. And so you want to bet 2% of bankroll. If you start with a $1,000 bankroll, I know this isn't sexy, that's a $20 bets. And then your bankroll doubles to $2,000. Then you go to $40 bets. And you just go ahead and you adjust. Mathematically, you should adjust each and every week. Realistically, as long as you're within the same approximate bankroll, then you can go ahead and adjust it, you know, season by season. But yeah, if you got double the bankroll, your bet size should be double.
Interesting note here. I don't have a name for whoever the so the answer is yes. She should double it.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, and I don't have a name, so I'm going to read this. This is interesting. Can you please remember it's not only men that listen to your podcast? I doubt I'm the only woman who does, but sometimes it feels like you think it's only dudes. I guess, I think that's probably a fair critique. I guess what I would say is when I say dudes or guys, I mean that like non-gender specific. I mean that platonically, like it's just an easy way for me to talk to everyone listening as opposed to like you people or you humans or whatever. I'm not thinking it's only guys, because I know women that listen. It's just like, if there was eight people over there and five are guys and three are girls, they'd be like, yo, what's up, dudes? Hey, guys. Like, that's just kind of how I talk, right or wrong. So if you have suggestions for better terms to use, I am all ears. But I certainly do not think we're only talking to dudes, because I have several women that have told me that they listen and love it. Good luck, everybody. Hope you guys win some money.
Thanks for tuning in to Even Money. Make sure to also check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.